You know who this is. The Culture and Conversations Podcast. And I'm your host, Jameson Smallwood. So glad to be rocking with you guys. As we continue to talk about what goes on in the culture and bring you conversations that make you think, engage your mind, maybe even make you cry, but possibly make you laugh too, because some of them are quite hilarious. So glad to be doing what I love to do, and that is talking to you. Actually talking with you, right? That's the proper prepositional phrase. Talking with you, not to you. It's a conversation. I'm so glad to be able to bring you my conversation that I had with my homie, Fred Brown, aka DJ Big Twin, Mr. 229 representing himself. Me and Fred went to high school together, and Fred went on to become one of the best DJs in the state of Georgia. He'll tell you himself that he's just waiting on that one opportunity to show the world that he's the best DJ, or one of the best DJs in the country. He talks about how he became a DJ, his journey, and he gives you some practical advice about how to build your career with people who are actually doing great work and serious about the same craft you're pursuing. Oh, and also today, we're going to be talking a little bit about Valentine's Day. Yet again, because today is actually Valentine's Day. It's amazing the reactions that Valentine's Day elicits from people. But it's cool. We got something to say about it on the Culture and Conversations Podcast. Let's get it. Yes, this is the Culture and Conversations Podcast, and I'm your host, Jameson Smallwood, and we are so glad to be doing this. I have such joy when I sit down in front of the mic and I begin to open up my mind and my heart to you guys. And I thank you for giving me a place to do it. As you download, you subscribe, and you check out these podcast episodes. So today I was in the grocery store right about the time most people are getting off from work, around 5 o'clock. And today's Valentine's Day. So I saw people obviously shopping and getting ready for Valentine's Day. But in particular, if you ever watch the brothers, the men scrambling around 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock before they go home, you see that we wait to the last minute to get something for our boos, our wives, and whoever else we're seeing that expects us to bring home something for Valentine's Day. I call it the Valentine's Day shuffle. And these guys, it's always hilarious because you see all these men, these big burly men walking through the store carrying teddy bears and flowers and candy and pink and red balloons, all because there's this social pressure to do so. Because we tell the world that on Valentine's Day, February 14th, we have to celebrate our love for our significant other. And it's always an awesome sight because you see all these guys just scrambling to find stuff and to get something to go home with. And it's amazing. I was telling one of my friends today how 90% of the people, and this is just me, you know, in my observation, are either going to be upset that they're single and that they don't have someone reliable to tell them, you know, that, hey, I love you or I like you a lot or whatever people say to each other on Valentine's Day. And then there's another part of people downplaying it. Like, yeah, I got my boo. We doing what we do. We over here in our cut chilling. You know, they're trying to downplay it and make it seem like it's not a big deal to them, even though it is. And then the other 10% of the people are either going to just make a little simple post on Facebook or their social media and go on about their business and chill and do what they do. So Valentine's Day, yet again, gives me something funny to talk about on the Culture and Conversations podcast, because it's just amazing to see what happens to us when we're told by the powers that be being capitalism, consumerism, Hallmark, maybe even Oprah, that we should be out here in these streets on Valentine's Day going hard, telling people that we love and care about them. So with that, I just wanted to bring that to you. Now, we turn our attention to this conversation, this great conversation that I had with my big homie, my friend, Fred Brown. And Fred is known in DJing circles and the entertainment circles as DJ Big Twin. And Fred and I have been keeping in touch since high school, and we've had a chance to reconnect recently over the years. And Fred is a DJ. He does DJing, obviously, for radio stations, as well as parties and events. And I was really fascinated because, once again, great story to tell. Hey, man, how do you wake up one day and decide that you want to be a DJ? And Fred was gracious enough to take time out of his schedule to grace the Culture and Conversations podcast. And we want you to hear that conversation right now. I got on the phone a good friend of mine from back in my high school days, and I wanted to just bring Fred Brown to the table, aka DJ Big Twin, because he is going through the process and the journey of growing his presence and his fame and his celebrity as a DJ. And it caught my eye when I saw him, you know, really starting to take off as a DJ. And I said, man, I would love to talk to him on the Culture and Conversations podcast. So, Fred, how goes it, man?
Man, I'm broke. I mean, I'm blessed. I'm thankful. It's been a rough couple days, you know what I'm saying, dealing with family, friends, loved ones. But, you know what I'm saying, in the end, through it all, we wake up every day. You got to give thanks, and you got to keep everything moving positive, and you got to stay encouraged.
Definitely. Definitely, man. Well, you know, whatever you got going on, brother, definitely let me know, and we'll definitely keep you guys encouraged and lifted up in prayer, man.
I mean, always, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I appreciate it. I just lost one of my partners, close partners, a couple of days ago, found out Friday morning that he passed. And it just, you know what I'm saying, just thinking about it, because, I mean, as a DJ growing, I consider people in my life, everybody can call each other friends, but you know what I'm saying, as people and as us, if we closer than that, I consider you more like family.
Word.
And the fact that my partner, you know what I'm saying, his name was Larry Sanders, but known to him to Southwest Georgia, the Albany area, as DJ Shock. And you know what I'm saying, my partner, before I DJ, I have been blessed and thankful to DJ in other cities, other colleges, from Fort Valley State to DJ at UF during Blue and White Weekend in Gainesville, one of my partners. Mm-hmm. And Dothan, Alabama. But before I DJed anywhere else, the first city that showed me love was Albany State. Mm-hmm. And my partner, DJ Shock, he brought me down to Albany. And anytime he needed me, and it's been all luck, we met DJing in a club in Mount Austin. Word. So, I mean, and we kept in contact, and it got more brotherly. I mean, whenever I'm in DJing in the city, he bring me down. I'm always crashing on my man's couch. I mean, we always cracking jokes. We having stories. I mean, it was a blessing to know my brother, and it's kind of still had me a little bothered by it. But in the end, you know what I'm saying, I asked everybody to keep his family, his son, his fiance, and everybody that knew him in his prayers, because he was a very conscious brother, smart brother, very proactive brother. And of course, I mean, it's just another one of our first people gone too soon, but of course God knows better.
That's it, man. Condolences definitely, man, to the Southwest Georgia DJ family, because I know how it is in those types of groups, man. It's all like family. You got all the people in your network who help you at different points to get to different, you know, to get to different opportunities. And it's just sad when you hear about somebody passing, especially when, you know, they're young and you thought that they had a lot more life ahead of them. So I'm sorry to hear that.
Of course. Because I mean, in this game, you got people that are show love, and you got people that'll help you. That'll, you know what I'm saying? We network, we work together. But some people that'll be feel like you're in competition, and it's never been about competition. Because in the end, we all about, you know what I'm saying, doing what we need to do and make everything successful. Because in the end, we do it for the people.
Okay.
We do it for the people, but also if we get blessed out of it, if it be successful, then again, I mean, like the saying goes, teamwork make the dream work.
That's it. Let's set up the conversation a little bit, Fred, and kind of take me back to the Brooks County high school days, man, when you were a part of the Marching Trojans, man. And is in band where you developed your passion for music? And if so, how did your experience in the band, you know, translate into you beginning to DJ?
I mean, band played a minor part, because I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I love music. I love music, all cultures, from R&B to pop to country. But, I mean, it set the tone. It wasn't until my grandmother, God bless her soul, she was like, all you do is listen to music anyway. You might as well get paid for it. You might as well talk. Mm. And the foundation was laid after I left Georgia Southern. I transferred home from Georgia Southern to Valdosta State. I pretty much got in there to mass. My major was mass media, dealing with the arts, dealing with radio and television.
Okay.
And then, of course, I took this radio class, intro to radio. Mm-hmm. And it put me behind the scenes to the point they're like, oh, man, just connecting with the people and talking. And they said, I was like, this is what I like to do, because you get a chance to connect and vibe with people. Gotcha. And share your stories. Gotcha. And also you get a chance to turn whatever they're going through and make it something positive.
Wow. So you got exposed to the platform of DJing, the career through your experience in college as a mass communication major. Okay, that's fascinating, man.
I started dealing with radio, and then next thing you know, one of my partners approached me because he know I got my name out a little bit more in the radio at the college. Mm-hmm. At WVVS 90.9 FM, Blaze FM.
So when you were at Valdosta State as a mass communication major, that's where you got exposed to being on the radio, and then that sort of was what helped you connect the dots that, hey, being a DJ is something I wanted to do. I think we probably need to explain to people what a DJ is before we get too far down into the story about, you know, your journey. So as you would define it, outside of DJ standing for disc jockey, what do you think a DJ is, and how did the radio experience lead to you, you know, rocking parties all across the country?
I mean, it played a big part. I mean, I was familiar with other DJs. One of the DJs in my area when I first came to VSU was DJ Tremaine that I first met, because he was doing a party for my partner now, that we done grown like family. My brother Big Nick, he used to throw parties at the fairgrounds.
Okay.
And I see Tremaine doing this thing, and I'm just like, how you connect the people? You can control the mood, the vibe. And then, of course, listening to the radio on the road, you see how DJs, pretty much, you connect with people. You it's like, you control, like, the mood. I mean, they could be having a bad day.
Okay.
But in the end, when you listen to music and you see people enjoying what they do, have fun, connecting with people are laughing, calling in, telling their stories, I mean, you'd be surprised. I mean, the craziest things happen, and then the thing is with radio, when people see you enjoying yourself and they can tell you love what you do and you're passionate about what you're doing, mm-hmm. is when you're having fun. They can listen to your voice. You're not sounding like a like descriptive or like a robot. You just reading verbatim. You just going with the flow, and they can tell you laughing and you having fun. They be like, oh man, I can definitely relate to that person.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, you know, that's the, you talked about connecting with people. I've got a book I'm working on reading from a guy named John Taffer. You may even know him. He does the show Bar Rescue on,
favorite show.
Yeah, it's a good
favorite show.
And he's got a concept that seems very similar to what DJs have to do. He calls it reaction management, meaning he doesn't want people coming to his restaurant or his, you know, resort or his hotel that he's managing or whatever and leaving with just sort of a blah impression. He says, I want people to react whenever I put the food down on the table, when people bring food to the table, when people see the decor of the place. He wants reactions from people because he feels that if people react to your product or to what you're doing, then that creates a connection with the customer that takes them deeper into the relationship with your relationship with them in the business. So as a DJ,
indeed,
exactly. So as a DJ, you talked about reactions. One of the questions I had as we talk about you becoming a DJ is take me through those early days of when you were DJing parties. Like, how did you know you were connecting with the people early on from their reactions? How did you know that you were connecting as a DJ early on?
Really and truly, you have to learn how to read your crowd. I didn't learn how to do that in the beginning.
Okay.
But the thing is, you'd be surprised, because in the end, in my era, what we grew up off of is everybody partying.
Okay.
Dancing. We're not with the generation that is now with everybody on their phone and just all their phone videotaping. We didn't have no phones. We didn't worry about phones back then. The plan was when you with your party at home, with your homeboys, y'all go to a party, be like, hey, this is the plan. We're going to link up. Mm-hmm. We're going to spread out. And then probably about an hour or so later, we go check back in with each other to make sure everybody good, you know, because we always plan, though. The plan is to go get to see who can get on something nice.
I got you.
And make some more.
I got you. But some nights you're talking about beautiful women who go to the parties, man, you know.
Of course. Always. It's because as a DJ, your most important thing is, if you see women there, you want to cater to them.
Okay.
You don't want to go out of the realm and out of your element. And then you always want to make the women comfortable, because when they're comfortable, then that just makes the move even easier throughout the night, that you can just step up and advance more, regarding to take more risks.
I see what you're saying. So, you know, I've seen this, you know, watching things, like I said, Bar Rescue, where if you've got like a club or you've got like some type of a hangout spot, you want the women to really be comfortable and feel like it's their element, because if you get the women happy, then the brothers are going to be happy too. The fellas are going to be happy.
Definitely. Because it's always about the lady.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't cater. My main thing is, you don't cater. I'm not worried about the hard legs. Because in the end, the hard legs want to try to make something happen, a.k.a. pretty much shoot their shot. They want a woman that they approach. And you wanna help them out to try to be like, hey, I made the play for you. It's up to you now. You got to finish the deal.
I got you. So as a DJ, you see yourself as a part of the social interactions that happen at the clubs or the hangout spots that you're actually DJing at. So it's almost like you're the wingman for the entire party.
Always, we are the wingman. I mean, we determine if the guy's going to be successful. I mean, we set the tone, but in the end, if it's up to the guy or even to the lady,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to be successful in meeting that match with that person who you're trying to interact with. Because,
okay.
Of course, we have seen dudes be not successful, and it's been very ugly, a.k.a. the curve.
Yeah, the curve. The curve. This is fascinating, man, because I never thought about DJing in all of these social interaction situations, you know, because like you're talking about the curve where, you know, some guy approaches a woman and she's not interested in him. And we call that getting curved because, you know, she basically, you know, curves you or swings your path away from her, you know, like a curve. So, you know, I never thought about DJs as being a part of these interactions with people at these parties, but I see what you're saying. So let's go back to what you were talking about reading the crowd early on. How do you read the crowd now as an established DJ to know that, hey, I'm killing my set right now, and these people are really in, you know, really vibing to what I'm playing? How do you read the crowd now?
I mean, it all depends on the tones of the people who come in early. I mean, if you got ladies in there early, you play some ladies' music. But also, if you got fellas shaking in early, okay, you got to cater to them a little bit, but also you play a lot of radio-friendly records.
Okay.
I mean, because the thing is, because it all depends. If you dealing with a college crowd is more like 18 or even kids or high school, I mean, you got to cater to more of the mixtape-friendly crowds. Where if you're dealing with grown folks, a.k.a. 21 and up or 25 and up, if it ain't a hit or if it's on the radio, you really don't play it. I mean, when you got them going, I mean, because people, you 25 and up, we're not, all of us are on mixtapes.
Mm-hmm.
we're not paying attention to mixtapes. We're not paying attention to live mixtapes. Oh, the new tape just dropped. No. I mean, it's whatever. It's on the radio, it's being played, or also if it was a hit. If it's a hit, songs we know. We play music that we know that people, at least people can relate and feel comfortable with, because they can vibe and dance. Now, the more throughout the night, when they're enjoying themselves, then you can take the risk of like, okay, cool, let's break this new record that I think is dope and I think the people are liking.
Okay, now that brings me to one of the questions I did have on my list. You know, so I get what you're saying, that there's a formula for how you approach the crowd and the music. So, okay, if you're talking about a younger crowd, you go with like your mixtape music. But if you're talking about an older crowd, then you're only really going to play stuff that's radio hits and music that's very popular that people know. But you said something at the end of that about as the night goes on and you've got the mood established in the set, and then you transition and say, okay, now I'm going to hit them with a record I think is dope, but I'm going to break this record. Talk to me about in particular your ear. What is it about a particular song that makes you say, hey, I'm going to start playing this and try to get people to vibe to the, you know, get people to get behind the record as they enjoy themselves? Like, what is it that you're listening for, you know, sonically or just whatever? Maybe it's just your preference that tells you, hey, this is the record that I need to break right now to give this artist a chance to get on.
I mean, it's something that you got to feel like you got to believe in.
Okay.
But also, you got to feel like it belongs in it belongs with the crowd and people that you cater to.
Okay.
I mean, because my crowd of people, I like to cater to people like to have fun, mm-hmm, and vibe and just dance. If your crowd is not that, then of course you got to be very picky and very careful.
I got you. So, you ain't playing no, for instance, if you got somebody, so, I mean, that's a good piece of information for people to know. If I'm a trap star rapper, you know, I'm a trap music rapper, and I come up to you, I'm talking, hey, man, I want you to play my record. And you like, man, I don't do sets for people who would be your fan base. You see what I'm saying? So you're, yep, saying that it matters about who they're catering to in their music versus who you're catering to in your DJing.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's very important. You got to know your crowd. You got to know your people. You got to know your listeners. I mean, because not all music is made for everybody. I mean, because then, so if you're a trap, if you're a trap star, you're a hood rapper, go to a hood club, or, you know, saying, you know, a DJ that caters to that element.
Okay.
Stick to him. Or also the thing is, if your song is on the radio, then of course people in the end, it's going to grow to people. Mm-hmm. People going to be like, hey, you got a so-and-so record? You'd be like, damn, y'all on this? Okay, cool. I'm going to play it.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So as music flows, then as new music comes out, it can come into the crowd two ways. It could be a radio push record where people are hearing it on the radio, and it's catching on, and people are like, man, I really like that song. Hey, yo, can you spin this at the set? Or it could be like we were talking earlier, where the people you cater to are the same fan base that the artist is targeting with his music, and you feel like it'll be a good alignment between your set and the crowd that you're actually catering to. Okay, so there's two funnels of music, of how music comes into the mainstream consciousness through the radio and also through the DJ and who he caters to with his music. Okay, cool, man. I'm learning. You can tell I'm learning as I go along here talking with you about DJing, man. And you know, and that's what, to me, that's what the Culture and Conversations podcast is all about, is that I want people to talk and just share this great information that they got, because everybody's got a story, you know. So you've gone through you've gone through the growing process of learning how to read a crowd, developing your DJ toolkit, if you will, of how to work a set and how to work the room. Tell me about the first time you did a party and, you know, you knew that you killed it and you knew that it was a success and it was a hit. Tell me about that very first party where you crushed it.
Let's just say back at VSU, it was a place called One Up Nightclub at VSU, downtown. It was upstairs. It was a good college spot. And the first time I played, I mean, of course, it was a learning experience, but also I see where people responded and were rocking with me. And that just made me think, like, this is something we honestly can do. And then, of course, it went from there. Then the next spot I was introduced at was at the old Rick's Nightclub in Valdosta.
Rick's, nice, nice.
And then, of course, I used to open for one of my partners that's a DJ. He went by the name of Paperboy at that time, but now he's DJ Mike Mars.
Okay.
And I used to open up for him and used to be one of his opening DJs, and I just learned just to set the tone throughout the night, because when you're opening, you play music that to get everybody vibing. And then, of course, when he comes in, when the closing DJ come in, like you the headliner, you the closer, around 11:30, 12 o'clock, that means you come in here, all you got to do is just kill it. Wow. You just shut it down and you just finish it out. You just smash them. You hit them with nothing but hits. You hit them with nothing but these power records, the records that everybody know they're going to sing along to, ladies going to dance to, and everybody going to have a good ass, you're pretty much going to have a good ass time.
Wow. Well, I think that's the thing that I want people to understand as they listen to these episodes of the podcast, is that nobody becomes great at what they do overnight, but
never.
You obviously endured the ups and downs. What kept you going when things were bumpy in early on in your learning process? Because you could have been like anybody else, right? There's no telling how many people were DJs at some point, and they just gave up and said, you know what, I can't do this. What kept you going, Fred, when you had all those challenges early on? What kept you going and to get you to the point where you started killing shows?
I mean, your support system. Your people you learn from, you sit back when you finish opening your set, you be like, okay, cool, you got people going, but of course you hit bumps. All right, you take notes, you make mental notes to yourself, you're like, okay, this is what I need to do next time. And then of course then you more and more, I got around my brother DJ AK, that's now, he's a hot 107.9 DJ in Atlanta. We did 96.7 in Valdosta, and then of course we used to do Club Sensations. It wasn't until I got to them, he pretty much showed me he allowed me to sharpen up a little bit more through him, and I took it a little bit more seriously. It's all about organization, and then also it's about also further about reading and knowing your crowd. You watch your crowd, and then of course you know which records to go with, you know which records to play, you know what you need to do.
Wow. Now, you know, you talked about some people earlier who are part of your support system, like Big Nick. And, you know, I also saw a couple other DJs that I know you're affiliated with in the Valdosta, South Georgia, Southwest Georgia area. And one of the things about those guys, and even you, man, I don't want to exclude you when I say this, you guys are not only just, you know, party DJs in the sense that you move the crowd, but you also seem to have very much some entrepreneurial mindsets behind you, because you guys are always promoting events not just, hey, come, you know, you're always promoting events and not just simply worrying about playing music. You're also saying, okay, I'm going to create an event around me playing music. So how has that been in terms of your work as a DJ in being a part of this promotion element that has to take place too? Because, you know, you're not just playing music, but you're a part of attracting people now, you know what I mean, to come to the party or the show. How is it that you're going about promoting and growing that, growing in promoting, you know, these different events?
If you notice, if you have a following, people will follow you. People always ask where you're going to be at when you're coming back, when you win the next event. That means you got people that's actually keeping up with you and enjoy what you do, and they know when you're coming in town or you're coming around. They know it's going to finna be a good time, and they know you finna cater and do something different than what the next DJ is doing. I mean, I learned from a lot of DJs. Big Nick was my brother. DJ AK, my brother. They allowed me to sharpen up. Mike Mars, Paperboy. I mean, we all was in that same circle. And then, of course, one person I always I learned from as well. And of course, beside DJ Tremaine, of course, DJ Killer Groove. Killer Groove, my big brother, aka OG. I mean, learned from him as well because he's been a vet for a long time. I mean, in the midst of the clubs, every night is not going to be a good night. But the thing is, when you're playing, you can be playing good music, and you don't see the crowd moving. So I mean, of course, normally when you get in learning, you'd be like, what the hell? What's going on? Why people ain't dancing? So I was taught from one of my peoples, from Nick especially, you keep going, AK, you keep going, you play, you find something that works, and you cater to that crowd. You can play all the newest music in the world. But if they're not dancing and vibing to it, okay, cool. You got to find something that works and what they're going to move to. Once you find them, what moving to and where they're going to move to, you stay with that element. And then, of course, then you flip it to what's relevant and what's current.
Wow. The parts you said there about following, yeah, I think that's something that's applicable across careers and across paths that people are on now. Especially with social media, you know what I'm saying? You're getting that feedback, like you said, from your followers, people who are fans of what you're doing as a DJ. You know, how as a DJ are you using social media? I know how I see you on social media, but, you know, in general, how are you as a DJ leveraging social media to interact with those followers who are coming to support your shows? You know, how are you using social media as a tool in your DJing?
I mean, I use social media as an outlet, and also you want to show people that you're not just regular DJ. You are a human being. Okay. And I don't like everybody else use social media as to be negative or messy. I try to bring positive.
Yeah,
I mean, my mantra is always about good vibes.
Yeah.
And laughter. I want to be a builder, not a destroyer.
Okay.
And I want people to laugh because in the end, a smile is a terrible thing to waste. It's a terrible thing to waste. And I want people to laugh because, I mean, life is too short to be stressed and be worrying about something else that you can't control. So you want to try to bring something to the island, to the outlet, to the point where you see something, you want to post something funny. You want people to be laughing, take their mind away from what's going on, whatever their troubles is. I mean, I may post a scripture. I want to encourage people. I mean, it wouldn't be right. I wouldn't call myself a Christian if I don't encourage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, cause you never know what one person may be going through and you are here to be an outlet to encourage them. Be like, hey, I mean, whatever you're dealing with, it's only temporary unless you allow it to become permanent. So you try to be that person to just let people know, be like, hey, we are human, we are regular, but also the thing is just stay positive. It's gonna get better. It will get better. You got to believe it and you have to speak it into existence.
Okay. Rock on, man. I think you said something there that I can connect with, is that as part of us using social media, you know, and having and developing a following and having a following, is that people want to connect with you, not just, like you said, as just a DJ, but they want to connect with you as a person. And you're trying to show them that, hey, I'm not just this guy behind the equipment. you know, rocking the crowd, I'm also somebody that, you know, like you said, I'm a Christian, or I'm into these particular different things, and I want to have positivity be what, you know, what people associate with me with. So you're using social media to sort of humanize yourself to the people who just may, you know, be inclined to see you as a DJ. I never thought about, you know, doing that, you know, but that makes perfect sense to me.
Always, because you are human. Everybody, I learned dealing with celebrities. I mean, some celebrities, everybody be starstruck. It ain't nothing to be starstruck, because in the end, I mean, you want people to see that you are human. You are a human being, and that you are, I mean, you're just the same as them. And I mean, we all go through troubles and trials and tribulations, just like you, whatever you're going through. I went through it. Mm-hmm. I could be going through it now, but I won't let you know that, because in the end, I'm speaking life. I'm speaking positive.
Mm-hmm. Fred, now let me ask you this question too. It just kind of just getting a little bit more perspective about the whole lifestyle as a DJ. So I you don't have to, you know, obviously you don't have to go any place with this question that you don't feel comfortable going, brother, but you,
okay,
you know what I'm saying? Tell me about the women. Do you find that you have a following? I don't want to call them groupies. That might be a little derogatory, but...
Well, you might as well say that everybody else do. So, I mean, nothing new. I mean, I cater to a lot of women. I mean, I know a lot of people are women, mm-hmm. but I mean, okay, all DJs don't have groupies. I mean, I have learned and enjoyed the fact that I can say, tell a woman no. Mm-hmm. I mean, my sister, have respect for yourself. mm-hmm. I mean, of course, everybody else fellas be like, dude, you crazy. Nah, I mean, that's not me. Never been my style, never been my cup of tea. I mean, I'm here for you to be your, I'm here to be a stress reliever, to have some fun. You can have a hard week at work, but when it comes to the weekend to step out, it's time to have some fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I think the reason that people in their particular, you know, careers and a particular journey or whatever attract women and people who are interested in them, you know, at least on some level fascinated with them, right? It's because
notoriety.
Exactly.
Notoriety.
But also you said something. All right, go ahead. Fish your thought. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No, you good.
But no, you also said something, I think too, is about how do you make people feel when they're around you? And especially mm-hmm. that energy, I even hate using that word, but that vibe that you put out about being positive and encouraging, a lot of times that's attractive, because as a person who's not just, you're not just playing music. Once again, you told me earlier, as we talked about it, you're in the social context that these people find themselves engaged again. Yeah, it makes perfect sense that a woman would see you at a party and be like, hey, you know, I like this guy. He's the center of attention. You know, I want to get close to him because, like you said, notoriety, interest, whatever you want to call it, it makes perfect sense that you would have women sort of drawn to that. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's the gift and the curse, but in the end, it's up to you how far you take that situation.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to take advantage of it, or you just want to be honest with that person, let them know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just real. I mean, transparency and honesty, that kind of keeps a lot of things from going to a place, like you said, where you don't necessarily want them to go. Let me see what else I wanted to chat with you about, and then I guess we can kind of wrap things up. You obviously have a lot of advice. You've given out a lot of advice in this interview of the Culture and Conversations podcast. What one piece of advice would you give a young person who was in your position at one point in time, maybe they're in a mass communication major, you know, in classroom right now, and they're trying to figure out, okay, how can I become a DJ, or how can I grow into being, you know, a success like you are at DJing? What one piece of advice would you give them?
I mean, associate yourself with people that you want to be, you want to emulate, and you want to follow. Mm-hmm. I mean, people got to understand, it's always about the company that you keep. If you keep company and if you see your people that is very respected and that is not making them being messy and carry themselves with with dignity and respect for themselves and for others, then those are the people you want to follow. You don't want to follow people that are being extra. You don't want to follow people that's being negative or always in doing the wrong thing. You want to follow people that's doing positive and setting the example for us, especially African American men. Being a black man in society, that you want to follow, that people be like, hey, I look up to you. I see that you're doing positive, you're doing uplifting. You're not tearing people down. You want to be encouraged, because that's every. You never know. Nowadays, we all need encouragement. I mean, don't listen if you got a group of people that is saying that you can't do this. Then you need to cut your ties from that people. Focus on the people that say that believe in you, that's going to actually ride for you, and that's going to be encouraging, that want to see you win, that want you to see you succeed. Because it's enough winning out there for everybody, for us all to be successful.
Wow. Man, that's positive. That's really encouraging. I mean, hang around the people who got their stuff together and who are doing what you're trying to do. That's 100% advice. That's 100% real advice. Fred.
Yeah, it's always about the company that you keep. You hang with crabs, then you're gonna see people gonna pick up that all you be hanging with is crabs. But if you hang with apples that's pretty much blossoming, then of course people are gonna be like, hey, I need to associate myself with this person because I can learn something from him, and it can allow me to help grow as an individual, as a young man, and also as a family, or to help the race be a good father and a role model for another youth.
Wow. Fred, shout out your social media, man. How can people get at DJ Big Twin?
Follow me on IG, Snap, Twitter, Big Twin 79. You follow me, I follow back. You show love, I show love back. Also, I'm on Facebook, Frederick Brown. It was DJ, but I do have a page called DJ Big Twin. Like the page, show love. I'm always an ear. You may be a stranger to me, but I'm a people person. I'm very approachable. Just hit me up. I'm always down. I like to laugh. I like to talk. I like walks in the park. but I like to have fun.
No doubt. And I got one more thing I'm going to ask you to do for me, man. Can I get a drop from you for the Culture and Conversations podcast?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You ready? Let's go right now.
Let's get it.
Okay. What up, world? It's your one and only big homie. It's your man, DJ Big Twin. 229 representative, Brooks County Trojan Maid. Always be with bringing the hammer. But when I get a chance to check out, y'all show love, support, check out Cultures and Conversations with my man Jameson Smallwood, doing big things, representing for the big fellas, also representing for the 229. Y'all show love, check out Cultures and Conversations, man.
Perfect, man. Fred, I can't thank you enough, man. I appreciate you, man.
Hey, appreciate you too, Jay. Just let me know when it releases, and I'll definitely push it for you. You know I got you. Appreciate you a lot, brother.
All right, man. It's always good talking to Fred. Fred Brown, DJ, Big Twin. Such a good episode. A lot of practical advice. Everybody wants to shine, but nobody wants to grind. I don't mind showing you my shine, because I don't mind showing you my grind. We get to the end of the Culture and Conversations podcast. If you want to reach out to the show, you know the recipe. Hit us up. Culture and Conversations on Facebook. Culture and Conversations on Instagram. And if you want to get out and do some typing, hit me up at gmail.com. cultureandconversations@gmail.com. It's just that simple. We make it easy so that everything is easy to remember. Culture and Conversations is what the name of the podcast is. And I am the host, Jameson Smallwood. And we thank you for listening and being a part of the conversation.